This is the Phuket News Hour with Tim Shaw. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, facebook.com/PhuketLiveRadio.
Hello and welcome to the program. A lot of news in the region today. We go to Manus Island in Papua New Guinea, which has been a location for the Australian government for part of its settlement and detention programs for irregular arrivals to Australian waters. The BBC goes undercover for that report. Sad news from the United Kingdom. Allegedly, the youngest ever suicide bomber, a citizen of the UK, lost his life over the weekend. 16 people now confirmed dead from the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. We'll go inside a South Korean hospital to find out what steps and measures they're taking to stem the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. And will Thailand beat Myanmar in the Southeast Asian Games clash scheduled for today? All this and more here on the Phuket News Hour. Don't forget the latest edition of the Phuket newspaper out now. It's only 20 baht. So too, Novosti Puketa, the Russian language newspaper, only 40 baht. More news on the way.
The news you need to know. This is the Phuket News Hour with Tim Shaw.
A lot of news in the region today, but the Southeast Asian Games gunning for a successful defence of their coveted SEA Games football crown. Thailand remain wary of Myanmar's threatening counterattacks as they prepare for the gold medal clash at the Singapore National Stadium. Having thrashed Indonesia 5-0 on Saturday's semi-final, the Thais meet the dark horses Myanmar, who stunned hot favourites Vietnam 2-1 in the other semi-final. After a scintillating performance, according to the Bangkok Post, against the Indonesians, Thailand coach has suggested that he is likely to opt for a mostly unchanged starting lineup. Go Thailand at the Southeast Asian Games playing Myanmar. News in aviation from Miami Beach in the United States. Thai Airways International expects to get back on its feet beginning in 2017. After an ambitious turnaround plan is successfully executed by January 2017, according to the Bangkok Post, the 55-year-old troubled flag carrier of Thailand should be able to resume expansion in terms of its network and fleet. The Thai president of Thai Airlines has told Bangkok Post on the sidelines of the 71st International Air Transport Association annual general meeting, and he's insisted the rehabilitation of Thai Airlines would not be as insurmountable as critics believe. According to the president of Thai Airlines, quote, "Our mission is not so much different from what Japan Airlines and Garuda Indonesia have done or what Malaysia Airlines is undergoing. Why can't we be as successful in our endeavor as they are?" According to the president of Thai Airlines. In more aviation news, Malaysian Airlines flight MH148 had just taken off from Melbourne Airport on Friday for the Malaysian capital Kuala Lumpur when a problem occurred. Plane tracking sites showed that the Airbus A330 circled Melbourne Airport several times before turning back. Fire engines were on site, but airport officials said it landed safely at 3 p.m. local time. All 300 passengers disembarked safely at Melbourne's Tullamarine Airport, and a preliminary inspection of the aircraft, which has been now grounded, showed no physical evidence of a fire externally, but that aircraft having to turn around and go back to Melbourne Airport on Friday. Checking foreign exchange rates, one US dollar will buy 33.84 baht, 38.10 euro, British pounds 52.77, the Australian dollar 26.49. On the way, we look at increased numbers of deaths from the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. Now 16 people confirmed dead, more than 140 confirmed cases, more than 2,000 people in isolation, and nearly 3,000 schools closed in South Korea. We're going to find out what authorities are doing in hospitals in South Korea to stem the increased numbers of contracted cases of the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. More news on the way here on the Phuket News Hour.
Miss something? No problem. Listen to the Phuket News Hour any time of the day. Programs posted daily on the PhuketNews.com/radio and on our Facebook page, Phuket Live Radio.
As Thailand's airports start screening people for possible Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, five new cases have been confirmed in South Korea. Another person has died from the virus. This brings the total number of deaths to 16 attributed to the virus known as MERS Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. Now, out of 150 people, according to CNN, who contracted MERS since the outbreak began in South Korea last month, 120 are undergoing treatment. There's been a breakout in the Samsung Hospital in Seoul. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia has recorded 5 cases of MERS in the past week, the official state-run Saudi press agency has reported. And also, according to the World Health Organization, the strain of coronavirus that causes MERS was first identified in 2012 in Saudi Arabia. The question is, should we be concerned about MERS? We go inside a hospital where MERS is being treated. The question is, how are they proceeding with this? This report, CNN.
I visited Seoul Medical Center to see what they're doing to protect their staff, their patients, and the public.
I'm at a hospital in Seoul. It's one of the medical facilities treating people who have contracted MERS. They're being kept in isolation so that other patients aren't exposed to the virus. We're going to head inside and see how medical staff are handling the situation. Of course, we have to take the proper precautions, so everyone is going to have to wear one of these.
Everyone who enters the hospital has their temperature taken. If they have a fever, they're separated for checks before they can come in.
The hospital has set up these triage tents outside for anyone who may be showing suspicious symptoms. If they're suspected of having MERS, they're brought here to these isolation booths.
That report from Cathy Chan from CNN. As we know now, there are 16 people confirmed dead. Schools all throughout South Korea have been closed until further notice. The biggest challenge for the World Health Organization is the control of the spread of the coronavirus. We know now that the Thailand airports have organized for screening, and for anyone that is suffering from any elevated fevers or temperatures has traveled to the Middle East or even to Korea. There's even talk that a South Korean businessman has been put into hospital in the Georgian Republic in the former Soviet Union. We'll keep on top of this story just to make sure that you are kept informed. The challenge that we all have is if you are planning any air travel, obviously a confined space is a perfect incubation and or transfer place for this kind of virus. We'll keep you fully informed. Keep listening to the Phuket News Centre and to the Phuket News Hour. More news on the way.
Your daily news fix, Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. Only on Live 89.5.
On the way, we look at some disturbing news from the Middle East. A 17-year-old British teenager became a suicide bomber. We go inside Manus Island detention centres run by Australia on Papua New Guinea. But first, let's check the world headlines from the BBC.
The latest headlines from BBC News, I'm Lebu Diseko. A teenager from northern England is thought to have become Britain's youngest ever suicide bomber. 17-year-old Talha Asma is reported to have blown himself up while fighting with the militant group Islamic State in Iraq. He was one of 4 suicide bombers who attacked forces near an oil refinery. A South African court has issued an interim order stopping Sudan's president, who's accused of war crimes and genocide, from leaving the country. A decision will be taken on Monday on whether Omar al-Bashir should be handed to the International Criminal Court. Thousands of pro-democracy campaigners gathered on the streets of Hong Kong just days before a vote on the political reform package that caused widespread protests last year. The controversial plans, which lay out how Hong Kong's next leader should be chosen, will be debated next week.
You're up to date with the world headlines from the BBC. Don't forget, too, that the latest copy of the Phuket newspaper, latest edition, is out now, best 20 baht you can spend. Also, the Russian language newspaper, Novosti Phuketa, 40 baht, available at 600 outlets right around the island. But let's cross to the Phuket News Centre for the latest national and local news.
The news you need to know. This is the Phuket News Hour with Tim Shaw. Your island, your station. Live 89.5.
Tim Newton from the Phuket News Centre. Buddhist hardliners backed by monks launched new anti-Rohingya demonstrations in Myanmar's troubled Rakhine state to protest against help being offered to desperate migrants found adrift on boats in the Bay of Bengal. Around 500 people, backed by dozens of monks, gathered under heavy rain in the state capital. After chanting anti-Rohingya slogans, the protest disbanded voluntarily after 2 hours. No violence was reported. A group of fishermen close to Koh Phu Island near Krabi caught a waterspout on camera that they say came within 1 kilometre of their fishing boat out in the open ocean. 10 fishing buddies were out fishing near the island when they noticed the spout, which spun for about 10 minutes before finally dissipating into the ocean. Water spouts are not normally dangerous and dissipate before they get to land. And the Deputy Thai PM says that if the draft constitution is endorsed by the people in a national referendum, the next election will be held in August next year. He says if the election is held, the next cabinet is expected to be sworn in by early October 2016, and the National Council for Peace and Order and all the agencies established by the NCPO will cease to exist. 29 the top temperature today, scattered showers, 100% chance of rain, and tonight's sunset at 6:45. You're up to date from the Phuket News Centre.
The stuff you need to know. 60 minutes of news on the Phuket News Hour with Tim Shaw.
The Australian government is in denial presently on allegations that authorities in Australia paid boat captains and crew of an Indonesian boat carrying 70 or so migrants wanting to land in Australia, paid them up to $30,000 for the boat to return to Indonesia. Now, those allegations are being tested in Australia presently, but the government's solution to the problems of migrants who arrive by boat is to intercept them and send them to another country, which it pays to take them in. Now, that's the official line. There are now allegations of migrants sent to Papua New Guinea in the Pacific, where they're living in a holding camp. There's been recent allegations of violence and mistreatment. Let's cross to the BBC for this extensive report.
Head by boat to Australia, end up in Papua New Guinea. We're trying to reach Australia's notorious offshore Manus Island detention camp, home to around 1,000 asylum seekers.
This is a place Australia does not want the world to see, dubbed by some the Guantanamo of the Pacific. You can see the camp there on the beach. This is about as close as we dare get because it's pretty heavily guarded, but it's been an entirely different story inside.
Over the past year, Manus has been at boiling point. It's impossible to film inside, but these pictures were smuggled out on mobile phones. Frustrated asylum seekers locked up seemingly indefinitely. Hundreds have been on hunger strike. Some stitched their lips together. This man, we were told, swallowed razor blades. We managed to get a local to sneak our camera past Australian officials and reach the camp. Asylum seekers, locked up here for almost 2 years. People are scared to talk, but we spoke to one Middle Eastern man who spent 18 months in detention before being moved to a more open prison on Manus.
My situation in detention was very, very, very terrible. We were living in one room, 2 meters squared. Four people. It is unfair. The Australian government broke the majority of our human rights.
5 years ago, hundreds were drowning trying to reach Australia. But tough policies intercepting boats have seen the number attempting the journey drop to virtually zero. And today, Australia refused to deny reports that it had even paid people smugglers if they agreed to turn their boats back. Papua New Guinea is poor, but Australia gave the government over £200 million, not only to house the detention centre, but also to resettle refugees. And Australia has repeatedly said Europe should follow its lead.
There is a lesson for other countries in how to do the right thing by everyone, do the right thing by our people, and ultimately do the right thing by poor, misguided people who, for all sorts of reasons, want a better life, but who very often end up dead if they succumb to the lure of the people smugglers.
That's the voice of Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott. And that report by BBC's John Donaldson about Papua New Guinea and Manus Island. In the Asia-Pacific region, the Australian government has created the Australia-Asia program to combat trafficking in persons. Those groups, including Thailand, Malaysia and Indonesia, met with representatives and officers at Paddy's Beach only two Fridays ago to discuss the AppTip programs in Asia. We'll keep following that story, and as we get more detail on the allegations of the Australian government actually paying boat captains to turn boats around and return them to Indonesia, the Indonesian government is actually seeking transparency and understanding of exactly what is alleged to have happened with this particular boat, where up to allegedly $30,000 was paid to the boat captain and crew to turn the boat around. More news on the way.
Today's important stories and the island's best music. This is the Phuket News Hour with Tim Shaw.
A story from the United Kingdom. A West Yorkshire teenager is believed to have become Britain's youngest ever suicide bomber after reportedly blowing himself up in Iraq. This report from the BBC.
Smiling before setting out to kill. This may be one of the last pictures of Talha Azmal, the A-level student turned suicide bomber. Here he's said to be posing with three other attackers beside their bomb-laden cars. For his family, the horror of recognition when these images emerged on social media accounts linked to Islamic State. He's said to have carried out his attack here near the Beji oil refinery in northern Iraq. It's been a battleground between the Iraqi army and Islamic State for more than a year. The teenager's family released a powerful and poignant statement saying he was exploited by persons unknown, hiding behind the anonymity of the World Wide Web. They targeted and befriended Talha, a deliberate and calculated grooming of him. The family, who are British Muslims, denounced the actions of Islamic State. Not and never in our name, they said. And in their hometown, Dewsbury, more condemnation from a community leader.
It's not Islam, certainly not something that Islam supports. It condemns the actions of organisations like ISIS, and we're hoping that they would learn and they'd come back and realise the mistakes that they've made.
Talha Azmal left home with his 17-year-old friend, Hassan Munshi, on the left. His fate is unknown, but experts say Islamic State is oversubscribed with suicide bombers.
There is some actual competition to be the person that gets to carry out the suicide operation because of the way that Islamic State indoctrinates these individuals. They really believe, in certain cases at least, that this is the best thing that they can possibly do.
Eerie night vision pictures appear to show Talha and his fellow bombers embracing before their mission. They weren't the only ones on the move under cover of darkness. Here in Baghdad tonight, the security forces have released few details about a wave of suicide attacks this weekend. A spokesman told us there were 17 in all. He said police near the Beji refinery had killed five attackers, but he said there was no confirmation of their nationalities or identities. The focus here is on the fact that they were killed.
That's Ola Gerland for the BBC with a quite remarkable report. The radicalisation of youth around the world by Islamic State, utilising social media. Two 17-year-old young men gone to fight a war. The question is, do they really understand what it is, the war that they're fighting, and the leadership to encourage young people to give up their lives? And as you heard that expert from the Quilliam Institute say, apparently, ISIS is oversubscribed with young men willing to become suicide bombers. More news on the way.
The stuff you need to know. 60 minutes of news on the Phuket News Hour with Tim Shaw.
The Phuket News Hour, produced and presented by Tim Shaw. That is the program for today. We use the resources of the BBC, CNN, The Voice of America, The Bangkok Post and the Phuket News Centre. If you want to catch up on the highlights of the program and keep listening for your hourly and half-hourly news bulletins on Live 89.5, go to thephuketnews.com/radio. You can check out the highlights podcast of this program. Until we speak again, thank you for joining me. Have a great day.
This is the Phuket News Hour with Tim Shaw. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, facebook.com/PhuketLiveRadio.